Good morning. It's great to be with you here this morning. If you could turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. We made our way over last night and we ended up stopping in Moncton for a little while. We went to the Cabela's store, the hunting and fishing store, and my son was, he was in his glory being in that shop, so yeah, it was great. I understand that you had a tough winter. We saw the pictures on Facebook and we saw the 17-foot high piles of snow and so on, and we wondered if, as we were coming across the bridge, whether we were going to still see snow here today. But we were glad we didn't. It was cold enough though yesterday. But let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 10, and I want to think about the Good Shepherd here this morning. And our brother read this passage this morning, and so we're going to read pretty well the same thing here in John chapter 10. We're going to think about the shepherd and the sheep. If you look at verse 9, it says this, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And I want you to just note the good shepherd here. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And then if you go down to verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then keep your finger here, but we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, just one verse here. And it says this, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." Notice what it says here, "the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the great shepherd." And here the emphasis in John chapter 10, the emphasis is the death of Christ. The good shepherd has given his life for the sheep. But here, as we look at Hebrews chapter 13, it's the great shepherd. And he's risen from the dead. He's ascended. He's in heaven. And then you come to 1 Peter chapter 5, and here we see the chief shepherd in verse 4. And it says this, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And here we see the chief shepherd, he's going to come again. And so I want to think with you for a few moments here this morning about this shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a couple in Vancouver, and they were driving along. She was pregnant. It was a Sunday afternoon, kind of leisurely drive, and all of a sudden, they see this SUV, and this SUV starts to come towards them, and it turns out this man was drunk. He hit them head on. The man died. The woman lived. And later on, when they did the investigation, they figured out that this man was actually a hero. The man that was doing the investigation, he came to the woman that lived and said, "I just want to tell you that your husband is a hero." Because he made a definite decision to take the brunt of that accident. It says, normally what you see is the driver lives and the passengers die because the driver pulls away from the oncoming traffic, and usually the passengers die. But he said, "Your husband made a direct decision to take the brunt of that accident, and he died that you might live." I want to tell you here this morning that that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He made a direct decision to come from heaven. And we read in Psalm 113 that God would have to humble himself even to look at our puny little earth, what's going on in our immediate heavens or our immediate earth. He had to humble himself to even look at our earth, his vast universe, billions and billions of stars. And then we read in Psalm chapter 8, and we heard it this morning. What is God that thou art mindful of us? We think of David as he would look at the stars and he would say, "God, Why are you even mindful of us? And we can look at the stars through a telescope today, and he maybe saw 8,000 stars. We see billions and billions of stars, and we wonder that the God of heaven would be mindful of us. Then the psalmist goes on to say that the Son of Man would visit us. And aren't we thankful that he not just humbled himself and looked at our earth and on our problem? It was our problem. It wasn't his problem. And he came down to die. Came down to Bethlehem, went to the cross, died for our sin, died for you and for me. And this is the first thing I want to think about this morning, is why is this good shepherd good? Because he gave his life for you. It's a man named Erwin Lutzer. And Erwin Lutzer, he was a born-again Christian, and he went to a conference for world religions, and he thought it would be a great opportunity to present the gospel. And as he was there, he saw a woman, and she had religious garb on, and so he went up to her, and he said, "You must love the Lord Jesus Christ." And she said, "Oh yeah, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him for the miracles that he did. I love him for taking the children up into his arms, for healing the sick, for giving the blind their sight. I love the Lord Jesus Christ for all these things." And Erwin Lutzer, he said, "You know, she never mentioned the death of Christ." And I turned to this woman and I said, "Well, I love the Lord Jesus Christ because he died on a cross for me. He died for my sin. He took my place." And aren't we thankful for this good shepherd that we can read here that he laid his life down for a sheep, for those, for us? Because there'd be no way to heaven. There'd be no way to be forgiven. Our sin would separate us from God forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ, this good shepherd, came and died for our sin, the problem that we had, so that here this morning you might be able to go to heaven. There's a little girl at camp, and about 3 or 4 years ago, and she was asked the question, she wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And so she was asked the question, "Who did Jesus Christ die for?" And she said, "Oh, Jesus Christ died for the world." And then she was asked the question, "Be more specific," or the statement was made, "Be more specific." And she said, "Oh." She realized for the first time, Jesus died for me. And here this morning, have you ever realized that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you? If you're the only one in this world, and if you and sin entered the world, and you're the only one, Jesus Christ would still come for you. He died for your personal sin on that cross. And so we see this morning here that he is the good shepherd. Why is he good? Because he's given his life for you and for me. Well, let's look at this chapter. There's more reasons why he's good here. And the second thing is this, that Jesus Christ is good because he seeks you here this morning. You see, the Bible gives this analogy of a sheep and a shepherd. And it's universal, isn't it? We could go to anywhere in all the world and people know about a sheep and a shepherd. It's timeless, too. It's an illustration that Jesus Christ gives time and time again. And he likens us to sheep, lost sheep. You can think of Luke chapter 15. And there the Lord Jesus Christ, he would tell that parable of the 99 sheep. Well, the man had 100 sheep, that shepherd. And as they're coming into the barn or into to the compound that night, he would count them. And he would come to 99. Where's the 100? And so maybe he counted them again. 1, 2, and he goes through 99. There's one sheep that's lost. And really, he should have just cut his losses, and he should have just said, "Well, do you know what? One sheep's lost. I'm not going to risk my life going after that lost sheep." But you know, he didn't do that, did he? He left the 99. And he went after that sheep, that one sheep that was lost. And you know, the Bible likens us to that lost sheep. You see, we're born going the wrong way. We're really born with our backs to God, going our own way, just like lost sheep. And it's not until we realize we're lost that we realize that I need to be found. I was driving across the border. It was Fort Erie, and I was to go to Rochester, New York. I was 16 years of age, going to a youth conference. And so we had a bunch in the car, and I was to go left towards Rochester, New York. Well, I went right. And we were going along for about an hour or so, and all of a sudden we saw signs for Cincinnati. We realized at that moment, we thought we were okay. We thought everything was great, and we're going along, we're going to go to this youth conference. But it wasn't until we realized we were lost that we realized, I need to be found. And you might be here this morning, and you might say, well, I'm not a lost sheep. I'll ask you this question this morning. If you were to die tonight, where are you going? You see, those that are found, those that have the shepherd, they know where they're going. They know their destination. If I was to go to the airport and I bought a ticket and so on, I know where I'm going. As we made our trip here today, I knew where I was going, where my destination was. And as we go along in life, we can know 100% for sure where our destination is. And if you don't know this morning, if you aren't 100% sure where you're going when life ends, then you're lost. And you need the shepherd. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's seeking you tonight or this morning. And he wants you to be his. He doesn't like lost sheep. That's why he came. That's why he died on the cross. He wants us to be a part of his fold. He wants us to be his. He wants us to be saved and safe within his fold. And he longs for us to be his shepherd. And so we see here he's good because he seeks us. But he's also good here because he gives eternal life. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. It's a little CD we give out and it's by William MacDonald and it says, the greatest lie in the world. And people say, well, is that evolution? But as they start to listen to the CD, they start to realize that the greatest lie in the world is this, is that we can actually earn our way to heaven. We can do some good work or something to earn God's favor to get into heaven. We can earn eternal life. And that's the biggest lie in the world because we can't earn eternal life. Eternal life has been purchased for us. And when we become his sheep, he gives unto us eternal life. It's that life needed to live in heaven. There's a girl when we were in Ireland, or a lady. She was an older lady named Nora. And Nora was a woman of good works. I mean, she put me to shame, put everyone to shame. She would go into the sick. She would go into the invalids. She would wash my friend John Brown's feet. She would come in and wash his feet. She was a woman full of good works. But she was trusting in that to get her to heaven. She was trusting in that to give her eternal life. And if she could earn eternal life through that, she did deserve heaven. The Bible says that we're all bankrupt before God. And there's nothing that we can bring to the table. We're totally bankrupt. Jesus Christ has done it all. He has gone to the cross. He is risen. He is in heaven. And if we're just linked with him, that's where the answer is. It's not in us. It's in him. And there's no good work that we could do. There's a man named Shaw McKenzie. And Shaw McKenzie, about 3 years ago, he lost his legs because of alcohol and complications with diabetes. And so his cousin was up in Fredericton, and he said, you know, you should go visit my cousin Shaw. And so I visited him in the hospital. And there, Shaw McKenzie, he's in that hospital bed, no legs. He was there for about 6 months. Really a sad sight. He was able to get out of the hospital. He got his own apartment, so I started to visit him there. And one day, it was a Friday, and I was just compelled, I got to go see Shaw. Now, I had a busy weekend ahead, and normally I wouldn't have gone to see Shaw. But the Lord kept bringing Shaw before me. And so that Friday, I went and visited him, and we talked a little bit about the Lord, but really not that much. But I left there 2 weeks later. He said, you know, when you came and visited me 2 weeks ago, I just want to tell you, I went into my bedroom and I turned on the radio and there's a man preaching on the radio. And he was telling me the exact same thing you were telling me. And I just want to tell you that I surrendered that morning to Jesus Christ. I gave up. Shaw McKenzie's in heaven today. About a month ago, Shaw McKenzie passed away. And he's in heaven not because of his good works. He was telling me all the things he did as a young man. He was known in the whole area as the tough guy, the rough guy. And the things that he did, if we were to weigh his good works and his bad works, he would even tell us here today the same thing, that his bad works would outweigh his good. He wasn't trusting in that. He wasn't part of any religion. He couldn't even get out of his house. He was never baptized. You see, Shaw was trusting in none of these things. But Shaw had one thing. Shaw had a Savior, Jesus Christ. He had a shepherd. He was a lost sheep going astray, but the Lord was pursuing him. And Shaw is a shepherd today that's taken him over onto the other side. And Shaw's in heaven today as we speak because he's got a Savior. And so we see here the good shepherd. He gives eternal life. And another reason why he's good here, look at verse 10. He gives life and he gives life more abundantly. It says this, the thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. He's so good because he gives abundant life. He gives, doesn't he? You see, there's someone else in this chapter. He's come to kill and steal and destroy. And he's an enemy of our souls. He's Satan. And he offers so much, but he delivers so little. I think of Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt, who seems to have everything this world would ever want, fame, riches, everything. He was asked by Rolling Stone magazine one time, Brad, you must be just so happy, you're at the pinnacle of your career. And he said this, he said, I should be happy, but there's just something missing. You see, there's a void in each one of us, and we try to fill it with different things. But that void can only be filled with Jesus Christ. There's an enemy of our souls. He's come to take. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Lord Jesus Christ, this good shepherd, he's come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. We have a Chinese friend of ours, and we were looking at the Chinese characters, and I don't know if you know this, but if you go back to the Chinese characters, the symbols go back to biblical stories, which is interesting. Look it up on the internet. But one of the symbols is the word blessed, and they use it at Chinese New Year, and it's all over the doors of restaurants and so on. It's a big word that's used all over China. But if you start to dissect that word, that symbol, it actually means this. God and man in a garden. And so what is that saying to us? Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they had perfect fellowship and friendship with God, and that is the word for blessed. You see, we're meant to have a relationship with our Creator. That's our ultimate fulfillment, but there's something that's come between, and that's sin. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ has taken care of sin. He's taken away sin. so that you and I today might have life and might have life more abundantly. Those that turn to him, turn from going their own way and turn to the Savior and receive the shepherd and be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. There's those that enter into that life, that abundant life in Jesus Christ. Why is he so good? Because he's come to give life. And he's come to give life more abundantly. Let's think of the last reason why he's good here in this chapter. And the last reason is this, is because he wants to bring us into his fold. Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And here the shepherd, he would go out into his field, and at night he had to have some type of shelter for the sheep. And so he would make a compound. He would take a rock compound, and he would take rocks and make this little building. And at night, well, he would actually become the door. The sheep would enter into that compound, and nothing could touch those sheep because they'd have to go through the shepherd first. And the idea here is that Jesus Christ is that door. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You'll become part of my fold. He wants a personal relationship with us, doesn't he? And you come to Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd. And some say, well, the Lord is a shepherd. He's just one of many. You've got Buddha, you've got Muhammad, you've got all these leaders of world religions, and while Jesus Christ is just the leader of the Christian religion, that's what people would say. He's just one of many shepherds. Or some people say he's the shepherd. Yes, he is the way to heaven. He's God's answer for sin, and he's God's answer for the way to heaven. Yes, he is, and I had a friend like that who believed all the message of the gospel. And I asked him one time, have you ever received him? Well, no, he didn't. He says, yeah, the Lord is the shepherd. He is the answer. But in Psalm 23, the Lord wants us to be able to say this. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, all the way down through Psalm 23, there's personal pronouns. There's over 20. And it tells me this, that the God of heaven wants to have a personal relationship with us. And here this morning, if you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, you'll be able to say this, I shall not want, he satisfies. And then as you start to go down through that little psalm, it says this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. He brings stability. And the idea is this, is that death is like a shadow over us. It's coming. It's looming. But the psalmist could say, I fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us. He's with me. It's a young lady named Grace. And Grace is 13 years of age. She had cancer. And I just want to think about the stability that she had as she faced death. And I'll just read it here. Shortly after she wrote this article, the doctor told her that there was nothing more they could do except try to manage her severe pain. The next day, Grace wrote this prayer in her personal diary. Dear Lord Jesus, I know everything is in your hands. It has always been. I do not know what your plan is, but I know you. Of course, I want to get better, but you may have other plans. I accept whatever you do. I thank you so much for everything you've done for me. You may want me to be with you any day soon. I love you, Lord. I thank you for dying on the cross for me and saving me from my sin. Lord, you have helped, comforted, calmed, and cheered me. You have brought me through a whole year in about 3 months. And in the caption at the bottom, it says this, Grace passed into the presence of the Lord on November 1st, 2004. She did not trust her good works, her religion, or even her faith, but rather she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though death is looming, she could say, I fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord, the shepherd, is with her to take her over to the other side. And she could say, the Lord is my shepherd. And you come to that end of that psalm, he not only brings satisfaction, stability, but he also brings security. And the psalmist could say this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not I might dwell or I could dwell or let's wait and see. The psalmist was sure, I will dwell. I'll be in heaven one day. It's certain. Why? Because the psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd. In Scotland, when they would go out in the boats early in the morning, many years ago, they would actually take an anchor, and they would use that anchor not to put down to the bottom of the ocean to anchor themselves. They would actually, as they were coming back from shore, the fog would roll in. And so they'd actually take that anchor, and they would throw the anchor, and they'd try to catch it onto a tree or a rock, and then they would pull themselves in because they couldn't see the shore because of the fog. You know, in Hebrews 6, verse 19, it says that the Lord is an anchor of our souls, both sure and both steadfast. He is anchored in heaven, and he is the only reason why I'll ever be there. Well, anyone will ever be there. It's because he's anchored there, he's sure, it's sure and it's steadfast. And one day that rope's going to be pulled in. It's not based on me. It's based on him. And Grace, what was she trusting in? Was she trusting in her good works? Was she trusting in herself? No, she was trusting in the good shepherd who's anchored in heaven. And it was both sure and both steadfast. And here this morning, what are you trusting in? You trusting in your good works, your religion, your baptism, or are you trusting in a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is so good because he longs for you to be a part of his fold. Well, let's look at, I've got a few minutes here, Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll look at the great shepherd. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, the emphasis here is that he's risen again. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. If you were to go to Mecca, you would find there a tomb, and it's a tomb of Muhammad. And people pay thousands and thousands of dollars just to get to Mecca, and just to be able to see that tomb and to be able to bow down before that tomb. Buddha, 82,000 shrines all across India, they have a piece of his ashes. It was taken and it was put in 82,000 little urns and it was scattered all over India. And if you were to go to those shrines, people would be bowing down to Buddha. But I want to tell you this morning that if you were to go to Jerusalem, you won't find the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find the ashes of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's risen again. He has triumphed. And here is the great shepherd, and he's great, isn't he? He's passed through death, and he's conquered every enemy. And he has passed through and he is in heaven today. It's like Columbus paving the way. He paved the way to come to North America so that thousands of people could come over from Europe. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has paved the way to heaven. And today he's secured in heaven. Are you linked with him? Are you linked with this great shepherd? Because if you are linked with him by faith, you'll be with him one day. He's the great shepherd. And I got a few moments here. Let's look at 1 Peter, the chief shepherd, just quickly. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This shepherd, he's not only died, he's not only risen again, seated in heaven, but this chief shepherd is coming again. Could be at any moment. But I can't tell you the day. I couldn't tell you the time. But it could be today. I don't know. But you know, we're seeing signs more than any other time in history. God has given signs. It's like when you're having a child, having a baby. The contractions, they're signs that the baby's coming. And I'm thankful that the Lord has done that. I think it's for the guys so that you can get your wife to the hospital quickly. But these signs are the contractions and so on are showing the baby's coming. It's like the little boy whose father was going away for many months, and the little boy was so sad, and so the father said this: you look at that tree out front, that maple tree? Son, when that maple tree starts to change colors, then I'm coming back. And so every day he would look out and he would look at that tree, and one day it started to change colors. My dad's coming back. Do you know what? We're seeing that tree changing colors today. The signs are there. And Daniel, it talks about that travel increase, knowledge will increase, and I could go through many signs that the scriptures speak about. And this is just one of them, and we're seeing knowledge increasing. We're seeing travel increasing. You can be here today and in China tomorrow. Knowledge increasing. You don't have to go to the library. You just go to Google, and you just ask a question, and there you've got the information. The Bible has spoken very specifically about this, that in the last days, these things are going to happen. How about earthquakes, natural disasters? We're seeing them come more severe than any other time in history, and the Bible speaks about that. And this is just a fraction of these signs that are coming. This chief shepherd, he's coming again, and he's going to take his sheep up with him one day. You say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. He longs for you. He longs for you. Longs for you to be his shepherd. Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. But is he your shepherd? You say he's my shepherd. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we again give thanks for the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, a shepherd and a sheep, it shows his tremendous care, his tremendous love. That Father, he just didn't leave us in our lost state, sheep going astray, going our own way. But Father, we're so thankful that this good shepherd sought us. And it cost him everything. It cost him his own life to come to this world of sin and sickness and to go to the cross to pay the price for our sin and our problem and to be our substitute. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. We thank you for this good shepherd. And Father, we're thankful that he is triumphant, that he is the great shepherd, that he is in heaven and he has conquered every enemy and he is victorious. And Father, we're thankful this morning that this shepherd is going to come again. He's a chief shepherd, and it's a promise. He says, I will come again. And Father, we're seeing those signs today. And Father, he longs for men and women and boys and girls to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Father, we praise thee for him this morning, and we give thanks in his precious name. Amen.